Welcome to the European Hockey Federation podcast. In conversation with the biggest names in hockey, generating insight and engagement around coaching, officiating and playing. Presented by Jack Rolfe, the founder of the Coaching Lab and supported by IFOH Academy. For this episode, we spoke with Ugnė Chmeliauskaitė, Lithuanian international player, about the emerging international scene. Over to Jack.
And then we'll just send this over to Tom and we can go. Awesome. Ugnė, welcome to the European Hockey Federation podcast. Awesome to have you with us. Kickstarted in 2021 with a fantastic guest from a country that maybe goes quite quiet about their business, but actually has some real good talent going on, some really exciting stuff, which I'm excited to hear you share and provide everyone with more knowledge of. So give us a bit of background. How come you're on the podcast? How did you end up here? Why would the European Hockey Federation invite you to be our guest this week?
So hi, Jack. I'm super happy to be here. People start to ask me, so what do you do, you know, in life? I'm always trying to say that I'm a good human being, at least trying to be one, and that's the most important. But besides that, what I do, I'm basically, I will say what is related with hockey. So I am a chair of ENGSO Youth Organization, which is European non-governmental youth sport organization. And with them, we coordinate and cooperate our work together with EHF in a lot of different ways, especially with Tom, where we support gender balance initiatives and etc., which you hear a lot about this chapter, which EHF is doing, but also in a lot of different areas, starting from sustainable development to youth leadership. And besides that, I'm also the communications manager in the Lithuanian Field Hockey Federation. And also I used to be one of the youth panel members with EHF is also doing. So there are a lot of connecting points with me and EHF. And I guess today I'm here to share the thoughts and views how the hockey in the small nation, as you said, Lithuania, which is probably not much heard about, can share the passion of the love of hockey, and also how much the young people can do in that field.
Awesome. And you missed a very important comment around your playing background that I believe you need to share, because I think you should be very proud. And for a small country, it's a great success. So what happened in 2019?
Yeah, so in 2019, Lithuania and Lithuanian national women team, we were playing indoors in the highest league of the indoors. It actually was held here back in Šiauliai, in one of the Lithuanian cities. And I have a gold medal of this indoor championship, which is super nice, as you said, for the small hockey nation as us. It is super important, these kind of achievements, because it's not every day you win European championship, I would say.
Yeah, awesome. That should have been the opening line, because I think that's amazing, and it should be celebrated massively. Just touching on that a little bit, what was your kind of expectations going into the tournament in terms of, did you consider yourselves with good hopes? Where did you sit on that one?
Well, it would be silly not to hope to reach high. I mean, why do you play then? So, of course, we had this hope that we're going to be in the top, let's say, probably not top one at that moment. That would be life. I would say that we were expecting that we're going to win the championship, but at least to be in the top three. That was our goal at the beginning. And also, when we started to play and we saw that it's going good, I mean, we had a luck in that championship. We had what we needed to do. I mean, a good team. We had all the best players at that time in the same pitch, let's say, like this. And with this concentration, we played as a team. And at the end of the day, you had this arena full of people. I mean, first time of hockey in Lithuania, I would say there are more than 5,000 people coming, you know, and cheering and etc. And probably part of them first time here what hockey is. So all this atmosphere just gives so much joy. And at the end, it has a very good outcomes as well.
Awesome. And you were quite smart in terms of I suppose your pathway in a way and contacts that you actually went to go and play in Portugal, so another European country. And I suppose two-part question, did a lot of the other players go and do that before coming to the championships? And how did that experience help you from going from one European country to another and pulling that experiences back to Lithuania?
Well, first of all, I have to say that playing in Portugal brings me back the love of hockey. Actually, I played in Portugal after the championship. So it was in my Erasmus period. So then I was studying back in Lithuania. I did my Erasmus in Portugal. And then I found the local club, which is Lisbon Casuals. And I went to play hockey there. And believe it or not, I think they showed me again why I do love hockey. Because Portugal as Lithuania is a small hockey nation. And then you meet people who, let's say, they struggle in having too many different teams, as we in Lithuania. So in the highest championship here in Lithuania, we have 5 teams. And then we have a B division, so the lower division. Which means that every year, again and again, you play the same teams. And besides, if you don't have the international championships or the tournaments and etc., it could be that you at some point get to the time, then it's a bit of a little struggle, you know? It's like how to motivate yourself to do your best in the championship when you play against the same teams again. So this is a question we have in the small nation. So when I came to Portugal to play, you know, it showed me once again why I do love hockey, why I see the passion in it, and etc. So for us, I think quite a lot of Lithuanian girls and boys as well go to different countries for some time of period to play. So either it is if Erasmus studies, either it is some kind of mini contracts we signed, for example, in Italy, or now we also quite a lot of times invited to go to Turkey to play. I did that myself as well. Also, we get an invitations for big hockey nations as the Netherlands or Belgium or not for some time of period to come to play, Spain as well. That shows us that hockey is not only 5 teams you play against. That also allows us to improve. That also allows us to get the motivation back to play hockey. So I think that's super, super important.
Yeah. And it shows what a small world it is, because when you went to Portugal, you met someone else that's part of some of the good work that's going on at the EHF as well.
Indeed. And you know, it's like, as I was telling you before, it's basically there I met the self-pass boys. Then they were like super little ones, you know, with their long haircuts and etc. And they didn't even start the self-pass at that point. And to see the growth is amazing. And it also gives, you know, this feeling of connection of the hockey world, as you say, because every time I come back to Portugal now to visit and etc., I can come to them and feel like I am back in the family. And Lisbon Casuals will always be in my heart, and they know that. Every time they come back, they know that they're going to get the warmest hug possible, because I constantly miss them, and it's super nice to see that they are still going.
And it's really nice to hear a story like that, and one that, again, should be celebrated. I think there's people, you know, you look at Wales and Scotland were quite smart a couple of years ago, sending more people into Europe from a small hockey country to go and experience hockey in another European country and bring those experiences back. So it's a lot more connected than we actually think it is. And we almost just have to ask, and we have to go and find those opportunities, which brings us nicely onto some of the work you're doing at the moment with NCOS. We'd love to hear a little bit more your kind of opportunity to share some of the good work you're doing, and maybe how people can get involved as well.
So ENGSO is basically, as I said, it's European Non-Governmental Sports Organization, and we do not concentrate only in hockey, I would say like that. We do concentrate on the sport and how much sport can serve not only as sport itself, as a physical activity, but also as a tool to reach some other goals, such as social inclusion. You know, para hockey is a thing now in European society. More and more para hockey teams are created and they do the championships as a side events. It's not fair to say as a side events, let's say in conjunction with the European championships. As well, besides social inclusion, you know how much health it brings to your life. You know, you can concentrate on that. And in ENGSO Youth, we have these several topics we work on. So basically, it's social inclusion, as I already mentioned, health and healthy lifestyle, basically. Then sport diplomacy. So it's also how to make sure that sport is still in the agenda of European European matters, let's say, like this in European Commission, Council of Europe, and etc. Also, besides that, we work on sustainable development, and we concentrate our work to help to achieve sustainable development goals 2030. And also one more thing which is super important is actually education and employability. Because you know that sport, especially grassroots sport, and a lot of sport clubs and hockey sport clubs, they have so many volunteers who bring their time and passion into development, the game and hockey and the community and etc. But they also learn so many soft skills, you know, such as leadership, public speaking, communication, and etc. and etc. Which we try to show that you can use them in your career path afterwards. And how to help especially young people, you know, to showcase those skills when they are looking for their jobs and to minimize the youth unemployment in Europe as much as possible. Mm-hmm. All these things, and, you know, of course, we work in different areas. So one of them is projects. And I started saying that together with EHF, we have some common projects which we are leading and cooperating. But besides the projects, we also do advocacy. So basically, you know, advocating and making sure that the European agenda is full of sports and also youth matters. And also network, of course, you know, as being European organization, we have a member organizations, which are national Olympic committees or national academies or national sports federations, who goes and connects through us. So if we see that some of the nations are working on the same topic, which is super important for them, we just make sure we connect them so they can reach the goal together easier. So all these things, which we are doing, yeah.
And where did your involvement begin?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I think it actually began when I was 6 years old and I came to my first hockey practice. You know, I was super, super small, tiny girl, and I came to the hockey practice because my father is a coach and he was having a girls team. Now he doesn't work with girls anymore, just with a man, but... at that time, I came and he had a team for the girls who were like, I would say, at least 5-6 years older than I was, because I was six, a super tiny girl. But he didn't give me an option. He just said, look, here is a stick, here is a ball, try it. You know, and I tried it and I liked it. I don't know, it somehow went quite well. And I, you know, had this catch up moment and I wanted to come back and play again. And with playing with the girls who were older than me, I had to somehow stand out to showcase that I'm able to do it. And these little steps helped me realize that hockey and the sports itself is not only, you know, not only the game, there's something more in it. And step by step, I started to be involved not only in the game itself, not only in the competition, but also helping out to get new volunteers, to organize community events, and etc. And then I was in my studies, I studied international relations and politics, and then I started to travel more, and somehow my own country and my own community wasn't enough. So I started to work in this cooperation between the nations, and in ANGSA Youth, I started as a young delegate. So basically the one who just volunteers and helps in the special occasions, and then went to the committee members. I was elected 4 years ago as a committee member, and then 2 years ago I was elected as a chair of the organization. And also, you know, besides being just in ANGSA Youth, I also help in a lot to develop the Lithuanian hockey and organize events here. I guess all of it is just a super huge belief that we can do a lot together.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, when you kind of go backwards in your path and press rewind and you keep going step by step, that you can almost see every opportunity leads on to the next one. You know, that good experience, that your first ever time with your club and your dad coaching you, to them, you know, advertising and supporting you that it's not just about hockey, it's about the club and the culture, has actually supported you to where you are now, which, you know, would be amazing if more young people were embraced that, which I suppose brings us on nicely to how can clubs, how can adults better support so we can flourish young people to not just be the best hockey players, but to be a committee member, to get involved in projects outside of their country and connect with other people?
Yeah, this is a super nice question. Thank you so much, Jack, for bringing it up, because this is also one of the missions I have in my life, I would say, to showcase for young people the opportunities. It's super important not to tell them that you have to do something. It should be a choice, because if it's a choice, then it's long-lasting. But at least what we can do, we can showcase and opportunities. So for the sport clubs, especially small sport clubs, what I always keep suggesting or keep eager to talk is that for the young people, you don't need to give the only the small tasks. So you cannot say, okay, we have a competition and please come, you know, you can start with them passing the balls or, you know, collecting the sticks or locking the lock rooms and etc., whatever it is, the small task. It's super nice because, of course, you have to start somewhere. But as soon as you will give the role or the volunteer opportunity where we have to lead something, so to organize something or to be responsible of something, not on one-time basis, but in the long term. So for example, every Sunday they have to, or not have to, but we would like to, that they would come and do the small training for the small kids. This is where it starts. Or every Christmas you ask them to organize some kind of club event. So you give a responsibility which is long-lasting, which is not one-time thing, but it's long-lasting. And this is how you form the community. And this is where young people, they feel the ownership of the things they do. And as soon as they feel the ownership, they are also entitled to bring more. Because one-time thing doesn't last long. If you have a longer period that this is where the good things happen. And I think for EHF, they also have this strategy. So for the ones who doesn't know and will be listening this, I think it's super important to highlight that the Youth Leadership Festival is one of the things which EHF is doing. And you can participate there. Every single nation which is in EHF, well, we have a chance to send two young, one male and one female, preferably, leaders which could participate at Youth Leadership Festival. And then after that, they can also start building the interest in the European hockey. So help and volunteer in the European Hockey Federation. So this is a small things, of course, but this is where we start.
But they all add up to big things and big adventures. And we'll put the link into the podcast subscription of where we can get involved with the EHF Festival, Youth Festival, and get on for that. Perfect. You make some really nice points there. And I think we all as adults need to almost step back a little bit and just believe in the youngsters we have in front of us. And that actually, as you said there, with the power of ownership and responsibility and support, these young people can really kind of go somewhere and they can, you know, take sport and they can take sessions to where, you know, we never thought they would, but they need to be encouraged to do that and, you know, to find those opportunities to do so as well.
Indeed. And I think we can also share the very concrete examples. You know, if you don't talk about top hockey players, which is another topic, I guess, because they are really the role models for a lot of young people. But let's talk about the level which we don't go to the Olympics. So as in Lithuania, for example, as in Portugal, right? As in Turkey at the moment. Maybe it will change. I'm not saying it should be always the hope, because besides that, why do we play, right? But at the moment, we are not the Olympic teams, let's say like this. And here we have a very concrete example. As I said, for example, self-pass boys. You know, they were young and very eager to play hockey. And then from this youth and this rebellious curiosity to change things, the huge things happening. Now, I would say this is a rare person who doesn't know what is self-pass, right? And or let's say here in Lithuania as well, we have some volunteers who comes and helps us in the events. So every occasionally we do the sports festival, which is every year, and it's around 1,000-2,000 people who come, and we present hockey there as well. And these young people, now they are not only, you know, the ones who play hockey, but they're also the ones who are coaches, the ones who are umpires, the ones who are going into the European umpiring, to different events, the ones who are, you know, stepping forward and creating the future for hockey. And for the small nations, I think if we don't concentrate on these young people and volunteers who will develop the hockey, then we gonna struggle, because you know, if nobody gonna keep continuing developing it, at some point it could be that we don't have any more players. And so, I think.
Lastly, your opportunity, you know, this podcast is going out in January. What would be your challenge for 2021 to clubs, to coaches, to better support the youth? If you could give them one challenge, one thing to do this year, what would it be?
I think invest the time. Because when we speak about the volunteers and the young people, a lot of people, the first thought which comes into your head is that, yeah, but I will need time to teach them, you know, to talk with them, to show them, and etc. So my challenge is take 1 hour per week and gather the youth you have in your sport club in one place. And just let them brainstorm, talk together. What do they want from the community? What do they want from the club? What kind of events they can organize? Where they can showcase hockey? And one time, 1 hour per week, and you will see where it leads. Because I do have a lot of belief in the young people. I believe that the minds are still so open for so many innovative things. Just let them try.
I'm excited, because I think after people listen to this message, I think they'll be tagging, you know, yourself and us and the European Hockey Federation, all these tweets and messages on Facebook and whatever, all these exciting projects. And we would encourage people to share the good work that is going on. So, Eugenie, thanks so much for your time. And also on behalf of the EHF as well, thanks for all the hard work you're doing, inspiring the future generation and putting hockey in a great place and young people in a great place.
No worries at all. And, you know, if you want to drop me a message, so please do that. We can talk together what we can do also, and, you know, or help you to connect with someone who can help you in your ideas development in your local nations and etc. So why not? Let's do that.
And what would be the email address or website to best get in touch?
So we can also probably drop it in the podcast, but basically it's my name.surname@gmail.com. So ugne.khmelauskaite@gmail.com. And this is actually how we started the hockey in Latvia. There are no hockey in Latvia. And then we saw some people playing there, and they said to them, okay, you don't have a clubs to compete in Latvia. Let's do the Baltic Championship. Let's invite you to our national championship. Let's, you know, develop the hockey in Latvia. So this is just, you know, keep inspiring that you can do that.
Year on year, there'll be a new story, which is the best bit about hockey, and we can't wait to celebrate it. So thanks very much. It's great to have you. And as ever, coaches, would encourage you to share your reflections with the European Hockey Federation online and at the Coaching Lab and Coach Logic as well. So thanks again. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to seeing what you get up to.
Thank you, Jack.
There we go.